Well, good morning and welcome to another session. We're going to be talking today in our Bible study that we do each Wednesday about being ever thankful. And this one, I got up early one morning and put it together, and it just really has blessed me, and I trust it will do the same for you. It may not be quite as long, but that's okay too, because the Lord has just put a group of scriptures together that I think will really encourage us as we approach Thanksgiving season. And to that end, let me note that the week of Thanksgiving will not be meeting, but then we'll pick back up the week after and continue on these studies that we do as part of Minton Williams Ministries on Wednesday morning. Now, we've just finished 7 weeks of studying how we are to be found doing His will in obedience, so that when He comes, then, and even if He delays, that we will be that group who is found so doing. And He says there's a reward for that. Blessed is the servant whom He finds that way. And that's what we all want to be. So let's kind of build on that thought as we start. And we've got a verse that'll kind of transition us into Thanksgiving. But remember, we're doing this out of our love for Him. And how can we do that out of our love for Him? Because He loved us first. So go with me to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 and 17. And I'm going to be going back and forth today between New American Standard, Amplified, and some New King James as well. Colossians 3 and New American Standard, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you." Now you see how that picks up on what we've been studying, because how does our faith come? How does our understanding of His will come? All through His Word. So he's praying that let the Word of Christ dwell richly within us, with all spiritual teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, with hymns, and spiritual songs. And then listen to this phrase, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So we begin to see here that giving thanks is a part of praise, and you cannot separate it. And I'll say for the first time today, I think being truly thankful and expressing it is one of the highest forms of praise we can give our Lord and Savior. Verse 17 then goes back to this be found doing that we were talking about. "And whatever you do in word or deed, not our will, but His will for our life, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." So we're doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus, and all the while, look at this last phrase, "giving thanks through Him," Jesus, "to God the Father." So in our being found so doing, we are continually to be giving thanks to God for what He's doing through us and enabling others then to give glory to Him, just as we're doing as we are found so doing. So we see this word again, the importance of the word of Christ, the anointed word, that word which causes faith to rise up, that word which gives us revelation as to His will. But I want you to see what else the word can produce as we act on it, and that is thanksgiving. And in our so doing, in whatever we are called to do, this sounds to me like we're supposed to have an attitude of gratitude. And that attitude of gratitude is not just something I feel. It is something I do. And I've said in some previous teachings that if you don't express thanks to people, you're not really giving thanks. You may say, "I'm so thankful," but it's something we do. And what do we do it? How do we do it? Well, he talks about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in praise and worship. And you're just going to see that amplified. No matter the circumstances we face, even when things may look bleak or they're very difficult, or we continue to stand to receive something that we've prayed about, we are to have this attitude of thanksgiving toward Jesus and toward the Father. The New American Standard in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, reads this way, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, this verse has created a lot of questions for many people. There are some who say, well, how should I give thanks for all things? It doesn't say Give thanks for all things. It says, in everything you're experiencing, give thanks for it. Why would that be? Because God has provided us a way out, a way to overcome, and we'll build on that in just a second. Listen to the Amplified. Thank God in everything. So in every circumstance, in every good occurrence. And then it adds, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks, what we were just talking about, for this is the will of God for you, who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of that will. So again, we just see this, that this attitude of gratitude, no matter what's going on around, because we have been given spiritual promises that everything we need pertaining to life and godliness, we can have this attitude because He's given us the answer, because He overcame the world. We didn't have to. We don't have to. We just get that victory in Him. Passion Translations finally says, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Again, that's His will for us, and that's what we want to be doing. I want to say this too, and I think it comes up again in a moment. If I remember the verse, we see this more clearly. But this is a heart attitude that we have to have. This is what we need to see as a commandment to us. It is not optional. Now, it's something that flows out of the love that He's given us, the grace He's poured out upon us. But this is something we're to be obedient with. Others may say, well, just how can I do it? And some may say, well, what difference does it make? Well, let me just say this. It's because of whom we know and because of in whom we believe. We have promises. We have the ability to speak words that create change in our bodies, in our circumstances. But in doing this, thanksgiving is just one way that we let that joy come out for what we know He's going to be working in our lives, even when things don't look well. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, Paul writing in verse 14, and this again is New American Standard, but thanks be to God. In other words, turn your attention and be thankful to Him, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and He manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. So again, what does this start with? Having this attitude of gratitude, being thankful in the midst of everything. And when we do that, then we are acknowledging this verse, that it's God who leads us in His triumph in Christ. So it's not something we're going to go fight a battle and do. It's something that comes to us through His grace. And this attitude of gratitude is just part of the way we bring heaven to earth. Constantly giving thanks. Can I add that phrase? And again, this is a pattern that we need to develop in our life. We don't want to be thankful just when we go to church and worship. We want to be expressing this over and over again. And in doing so, if we're tempted to fear, then this is one way, because we're speaking God's word. We're telling what we're thankful for. We just don't say thank you, thank you, thank you. We thank you for what He's done, the promises He's given us, what He's already accomplished in your life. And in doing that, it will drive fear out when the devil is trying to say, see, I told you, it's just not going to work this time. Oh yeah, but you're wrong, as you are all the time when we start speaking the word. Now, we've got to be diligent in this. We don't want to be tossed to and fro and fearing and then thanking and fearing and then thanking. We want to be thankful to a point that the fear just does not take root in us. And when we do that, when we have that knowing that we've stepped in that secret place, well, let's just look at that then. Psalm 91, verse 1. And this is New King James. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, when we get to that secret place, can I just tell you that it's thanksgiving that opens the gate so that we can enter into His presence and maintain that place under His wing, again in his presence. Do you remember Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5? Or verses 4 and 5, I should say. It just plainly says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless or magnify and honor his name. Verse 5 continues, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So, let's ask the question, how are we told, how are we instructed that we should approach the Father? We do it in Jesus, in Christ, and we do it in thanksgiving and praise and worship. You cannot separate those. I said it once and I'll say it again. These things are just, they go together. And then we could ask the question as we read this psalm, and why should we have this attitude of gratitude? Well, let's look at verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy, his hesed, his covenant love is everlasting, and his truth, his word, which we have recorded in Scripture for us to get revelation from onto what he's given us, he says that endures to all generations. Glory be to God. What a great promise that is. Now, you might say, well, you see that once, but you've told us before we need to find it in multiple scriptures. Well, I'm glad you remembered that. So let's confirm it. Psalm 95, verses 1, 2, and 3. And this will also be from New King James. O come. Now, O come can mean come together, but couldn't it also mean come into him? And that's what you're going to see. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let me just read through it and we'll talk. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is great and the great King above all gods. So what do we see here? Thanksgiving is our entryway into his presence. You know, Psalm 16 also says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And so if we look back at verse 2, we come to his presence with thanksgiving. And then what should come after that thanksgiving? Joy should come. And then we can shout with that joy. And again, affirming who we are in him, what he's done for us, and all the promises that are given to us, which Scripture says they are in Christ Jesus. And the answer to all those, if we ask about it, is yes, and so be it. Do we expect peace to come? You know, we're in the midst of trouble and trials. We said we ought to be thanking him for he's provided a way for us to overcome it. And so we ask the question, okay, if I'm giving thanks, then we've seen I can have joy, but how about peace? Does that come with it too? Well, let's look at Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, we've looked at this in the previous study, so it's going to be kind of going over some things we've talked about, but it's very pertinent to what we're seeing. Be anxious for nothing. No worry, no dread, so that what we dread, as Job said, has come upon me. We won't have that happen. In other words, we're not anxious, we're not worrying, we're not dreading, then we're keeping fear at bay from us. And how do we do that? In everything by prayer and supplication. So those words mean spend some face time with God, get into his presence. How do we do that? We've already seen that. Be thankful. When we do that, we let our requests to be made known to him. That's the supplication part of it. And look at what verse 7 says. And the peace of God, his peace. What did Jesus say? My peace I give to you, not peace as the world gives to us. He talks about how that overcoming peace that he had. And can I tell you this? I believe he had that on the way to the cross. I think that's so important for us to see that he relied on these same principles that we're talking about as he faced that great sacrifice he made for each of us. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, that's big. Thanksgiving, before we pray, then let our supplications, our requests be made known, and the peace of God that we don't comprehend. Now, that says to me, one of the reasons we want to be found so doing is so others can see the revelation of Jesus in us. And we've talked about that a lot in the previous 7 weeks. But when we do that, this says that His peace will guard our hearts and our minds, both spirit and soul. And it only happens because of our position in Christ Jesus. Now, are you beginning to see then that Thanksgiving is a commandment, but He's given us this commandment for us? It is for our good. Now, let's go back and talk about this prayer a minute. Many of you have heard Brother Andrew Womack say that the best way to pray in his experience is to do it like a sandwich. You first start with a piece of bread, which would be Thanksgiving. You'd put whatever you're having in the sandwich in the middle. That's request. And then you put another piece of bread, more Thanksgiving, on top of it. So what are we doing? Just what this verse says. We are being thankful before we even express it, because we know if we're praying His will that we've been talking about for our lives, then we know if we're praying according to His will, He hears us. 1 John 5:14-15. And 15 goes on to say what? If we're praying His will and we know He hears us, then we have those things that we're requesting. And with it comes His peace and His joy. That's just so good. Everything He gives us, all the instructions He gives us, is not to just make us do things. In doing this and in giving thanks, really all we're doing is magnifying Him, making Him larger in our view, making the Word become more real, more alive in our spirit. A couple of more verses for today. Colossians 2:6-7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. So just like we received Him, we're supposed to continue that same grace by faith. We get His grace, and it comes through believing Him. So that's the way we're to walk. That's why it says the just 4 or 5 different times, saying the just or the righteous should live by faith. So we're to walk in Him just as we've received Him. Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Now, if you think about that verse a minute, it's really saying that we've been firmly rooted and we're now being built up and established like we were instructed. And what is the natural outcome of that? In fact, I would say, what enhances that process as well? Overflowing with gratitude, giving thanksgiving to Him. You know, other translations say abounding in thanksgiving. Some do say overflowing. And again, making Jesus larger in our eyes. We can't make Him any bigger than He is. We can't make Him love us any more than He is. He is who He is. But we make Him larger and more real. That love just becomes more real the more we focus our thankfulness on Him for all He's done. Now, I want to close with this. If this is something we're doing in the earth, don't think that it's going to quit when we get to heaven. We should be doing this today because we're going to be doing it in His presence forever. In Revelation 7, the 11th and 12th verse, all the angels were standing around the throne, and one day we're going to be there with them, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped Him. Now, I want you to see how they worship Him. Now, if they're doing this, don't you fully expect that we'll be doing this too? And they said, Amen. In other words, so be it. This is the way it is. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. What are they doing? They're declaring who He is. They're declaring who they see Him as. When we're doing it, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be declaring at that point in time who He made us to be. And it's just going to become more real to us because we're seeing Him face to face. But we get that same opportunity today as we walk by faith, not by sight. We're calling things that we don't see, or maybe we don't feel thankful, but yet when we express it, because we know the great things He did for us, this comes alive in our heart. Now, saints, as we go into Thanksgiving this year, there's a lot of opportunities we have. Now, this is a national holiday. I almost looked up, but it was a little longer than I wanted to read to you, the prayer that George Washington wrote for this. And it is amazing. But yet we often just look at all the trouble. But how about if we turn our attention this year to God and all He's done in establishing this great nation, and we give Him thanks for it, that we can come together and worship without fear of anybody checking to see who you're watching online or fussing at me for what I've done. You know, we had opportunities year ago where I actually got censored for some things that we were praying about and where they took it, I thought, to an extreme. But this is who we are, a people impacted by the work of our Lord Jesus on the cross, His death, His burial, and most importantly, His resurrection. This is who we are, a people to give blessing and glory and honor and power and thanksgiving to our Lord Jesus. And through that, the Father is glorified. I hope this blesses you. I hope you're able to have a great Thanksgiving with your family. And I look forward for us getting back together again in December. Be blessed and go with a thankful heart.